insight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the written word. As we look for again, your word, we ask that we receive revelation at the sound. We ask that we receive revelation at the sound in the written word concerning Christ. There's no error in our mind in this place. In the name of Jesus, we receive your word and we see Christ from your written word. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we started off 2 days ago on the book of Galatians, right? Okay. Started off on the book of Galatians and let's see what we can cover up today. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." Mark 16, from verse 15. Jesus, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall not hold them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24, verses 47. Okay, it says, and 46, "And Thursday's written, and Thursday's behold, Christ to suffer and to rise the dead from the dead the third day, and that repentance, which is remission of sin, be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." John 20:23. It says, "Whosoever sins ye remit shall be remitted, and whosoever ye forgive," whosoever, the word sins there is italicized, "whosoever ye retain, I retain." Hallelujah. So we see, this will be Jesus' instruction within the 40 days, right?
So say in that instruction,
it's to raise disciples, right? So those that instruction is captured by the open ocean, as it was captured by the apostles in different by the writers of the synoptics in different forms, but yet the same thing, right? While Matthew was talking about discipleship, raising disciples, right? Mark and Luke spoke about what? The entrance into it. And what would they call it? Is it when the gospel is preached, right? When the gospel is preached and a man believes, he is saved. Hope you are following me. He's saved. So that becomes the entrance. Why Luke will call the gospel preached the gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, right? Repentance means to change one's thinking. We're going to look at that shortly. Hallelujah. To change one's thinking. They call that the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So the gospel is called the gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins. John will answer, when a man believes, his sins are forgiven him. Hallelujah. When a man believes, his sins are forgiven him. So that means when a man doesn't believe, he's damned. Right? We saw that, right? Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In John 3:16 is called when a man believes, he's saved from perishing. So when a man doesn't believe, he's condemned already. Verses 18. Hope they're following me. So when it says condemned already, will be from where? From Moses, right? Right? The condemned already is from Moses. He said, there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Hallelujah. So that means Moses has written concerning the condemnation already. That's what it means. So when Matthew says, make disciples, it is holistic, right? Right? It involves both what happens in discipleship, or first of all, it involves the entrance into discipleship and what happens in discipleship, right? Right? Okay. And we said the background of this will be the local church. So the local church is where we raise men, right? The local church is where we raise men. A strong local church is a local church that is strong in raising men. Hallelujah. Or a strong local church is a local church that is strong in grooming men, teaching. Hallelujah. Hope you follow me. So something we're going to look at now will be when it says, okay, so I said the responsibility of the local church is to raise men. A local church that is strong is a local church that is strong in teaching, grooming and raising men. So when it says teaching them, now that word teaching is the word didasco, right? Is that what I said? Now we said didasco is an active word. It's an active word, right? It shows the very act of teaching in the local church is not passive but active. Hallelujah. And 2 days back we saw it, that the apostles were loud in the book of Acts about teaching. They were deliberate and it was not passive, right? It was not short service sermon. No, they were deliberate. They were, what should I put? They were deliberate and they were very loud about it. Very loud. They are very, 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 very loud. That is very important. They were loud. So, and we said that school has some surrounding words, like the didaskalos, right? We have the didaskalos, which is explanation, the explanation itself. We have the didaskos. Did I say the didaskalos is the explanation? No, the didaskalos is the teacher. Hallelujah. We have the didaskalos. We have, I forget not the didas. I know there's didaskos. Didaskos means to be skillful. There's the didaskalia, which is the explanation itself. There's the didaskalos, the teacher. There's the didaskos, to be skillful in explaining. So we narrowed it on didache, right? I would say didache has to do with the mode of explanation. The mode of explanation. How what is explained is explained. Hallelujah. How what is explained is explained. So, when Jesus said teaching them, it will carry the weight of the word didache. So he says teaching them, it will carry the same weight. It will carry the weight because didache, didaskalos, didasko have the same root word. So to carry the same weight of how what is explained is explained. Hope you are following me. How what is explained is explained. The mode of explanation. Hallelujah. So if we get to Matthew 16 verse 6, he told his disciples, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. When he uses the word leaven there, it would be well the living of the Pharisees. So they didn't understand. They thought he was referring to the living of bread. But living, we said, is an Old Testament word, right? It's a word you find in the 39 books. Find in Moses. Remember what I told you? Word to have that meaning where, and it's used for what is corrupt. Hallelujah. So that means it says, beware of their mode of explanation. In verse 12, he says, he told them to beware of the doctrine, their mode of explanation of the Pharisees. So that means, the way the Pharisees explain scriptures will be wrong. Right? Right? We saw the Pharisees. Pharisees are astute students of Moses. Right? They know the Torah of Moses by heart. Yes. That means, where did they read from? If you read Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine, his mode of explaining scripture, for he explained as one having authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. So when he says scribes and Pharisees, remember Jesus read from Genesis to Malachi, right? So for Jesus reading from Genesis to Malachi, it means the Pharisees to read Genesis to Malachi. But their mode of explaining Genesis to Malachi was wrong. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says, listen to this, when Jesus says, beware of this, of the doctrines of the Pharisees, it means that their mode of explaining Genesis to Malachi is wrong. See, I say this a lot. There is a way scripture should be explained. There is no, this is my own explanation of scripture. There's nothing like a personal explanation, no. There's a way scriptures are explained. Hope you are following this. Hallelujah. There is a mode of explaining scriptures. So their mode of explaining it was wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I've had people go into Moses and they say nonsense out of his book. Hallelujah. See, Bible study. I say it again. We'll get there soon. That's why I went back to church. That I don't jump my book like I did some days back. Hallelujah. I will follow my notes. Amen. So how then would scriptures be explained? Because they were from Genesis, but their conclusion was wrong. John 5:39. It says, you search the scriptures. That was rebuking the Pharisees. It said they search the scriptures. That means what would be the scripture? Genesis to Malachi, right? Though Jesus was narrowing it down to what? Moses, right? But so you search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. He said, but these are they that testify of me. But you will not come to me that ye might have life. So when he said, these are they that testify. That word testify means to bear witness to a conclusion of a matter. So that means he said, the scripture concludes on me. But you will not come to me. Did you see that? So that means the conclusion of scripture, right, was wrong. Hallelujah. Something we're going to see today. Hallelujah. We won't get to something. Some things like Antichrist. I pray we'll get there today. Hallelujah. Hope you follow me. Then it gets to verse 45. It says, hope you're opening your Bible. I'm just rushing through what we've discussed some days back. Verse 45. It says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you. He says, Moses in whom you trust. He says, if you have believed Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote concerning me. Hallelujah. But if you don't believe Moses, he's saying, how would you believe my words? So that means, he says, Moses wrote concerning me. I hope you're following that. Well, when he says Moses wrote concerning me, it means Moses' conclusion would be about the Christos. You will not find Moses talk about Jesus like Jesus. No, but when you read Moses together, he talks about the Christos. Right? Right? He talks about God's Messiah. So therefore, when you see that too, it will be very clear when you read John 5, just some chapters, John 4. Jesus met the woman, the Samaritan woman, by the well. Now the Samaritans believe in Moses, right? They believe in Moses. What they have is, as scripture is Genesis to Deuteronomy. That is who they believe. They follow only Moses. Hallelujah. But yet the woman said, was able to identify that they will be the Christ. Look at verse 25. It said, the woman said unto him, John 4:25, I know the Messiah cometh, who it is called the Christos. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that means, if you read Moses together, it concludes on the Christos. Hope you're following me. Okay. So, we began looking last week at what, or we began looking at the fact of Jesus' didache. And we said one of the facts of Jesus' didache is what? Anaginosko. Right? Anaginosko. Ana means, when you are anaginosko, Ana means to do something again, to go over something again. Now, ginosko means to read. It's used for read. So it says to read again. Read it again. You know, when someone tells you read it again, it means pay attention, right? You're not reading something, I say read it again. It means I need you to pay attention to something, right? Read it again. Read it again. No, look at it again, right? So that is anaginosko, to reread it, to read it again. Hallelujah. And when it says anaginosko means to be pay attention to details, right? We say it also, first of all, it means to read chronologically.
That is starting from Genesis, right? And to pay attention. This has gone on. And to pay attention to details. Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
And to pay attention to details. Where would you go? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, where were we? Now it says it means to read chronologically from Genesis, right? To read from Genesis and paying attention to details. Paying attention to details. We looked at Matthew 12. Matthew 12. From verses 3. He asked them, have you not read? They came accusing his disciples for not obeying the Sabbath. He told them, have you not read? Right? Have you not read means, did you miss this in your reading? Right? Hallelujah. That is to say, how did you skip it? Just like, how did you skip it? Didn't you see it? Hallelujah. Matthew 5. I mean, Matthew 12. Hope you are with me. Matthew 12. Amen. Look at what he said to them. Have you not read that David, when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to him for him to eat? Now, you know, they are accusing his disciples, right? And he took them back again. He said, when you were reading, did you skip first Samuel? Did you see what Moses did? Did you see what David did? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also in verse 15, in verse 5, he told them again, have you not read how on the Sabbath day the priest profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? That is number 28. Glory to God. Number 28. So what is he telling them? No, we've done that study over and again, right? Hallelujah. In chapter 21. In chapter 21. Verse 16. He says to them, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has perfected praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it means to reread, to go back and read again. How are you following me? To go back and read it again. Glory to God. In chapter 22, we saw what he did to the Pharisees when they came to meet him. Hallelujah. What did he do to the Pharisees? Sorry, 22 verse 31, sorry. So, that is the Sadducees. They came to meet him about the man that has his home, that is a man that is married, he died, then his wife was pushed to the brothers, down to the seventh brother, and they all died. Now ask his wife, will she be in the resurrection? And he also answered and said, have you not read? Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. He says, have you not read in verse 31? That which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God of the God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So very important. So you pay attention to details. Glory to God. So Jesus uses Anagenos school to question how the Pharisees read the scriptures, that they didn't pay attention to details. Hallelujah. When they studied. So that means in studying, you need to pay attention. That means Bible study is not bedtime story. No. Hallelujah. Not a bedtime story or what you do in a glance. No. But it involves careful study, paying attention to details. Do you know anybody can come and teach you anything? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. But Bible study is not like that. See. There's a video by Pastor Shabira that I shared that he posted yesterday. I don't know how many of you have seen that. But he shared that yesterday. See, as your pastor, you know I can just come and then just teach you anything. Sure you know. And everybody will just, wow, Pastor is worth it. But I've just deceived myself. Do you understand? Amen. Amen. Before I came out here today, I made sure I read, we are reading Galatians, so I read Galatians again, like twice this morning. But I've read it before, but I still read everything again. Glory to God. I'm not coming here to just bamboozle you with Greek and Hebrew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor will say, before you talk to an audience of plenty, talk to an audience of one. Imagine Jesus was there. Would you teach what you are teaching? Amen. But that is why I say, Bible study doesn't just, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. Look at what Paul told Timothy. It says, study to show yourself approved. That is, be diligent. Right? Be diligent to show yourself approved. Say, a worker. A worker. Sometimes I don't sleep till late in the night. We come very early again. A worker that need not be ashamed. That need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the words of truth. If I let me even give you a shocker. I've read it over and over and over. The book of Galatians, what I'm teaching you. So when I was reading the second time this morning, see, part I've always just read, and I will not call it, and I just looked at it again and said, interesting. So that means, it's something you have to read. Read it again, know it well. Hallelujah. You're the God. And you're not knowing it because you want to preach. You are knowing it because you need to know it well. Because a good teacher is a good student. Hallelujah. So you say a worker. So that means Bible study is that's the word egathi in the Greek. It's labor. A toiler. So that means a Bible interpreter or a Bible student. That would be like a Christian who is serious about knowing God. Studying the Bible is labor. Say you are hearing me. It is labor. And sometimes like, when you just say, you look at the guy. You just say, that is just it. That is Bible study. Amen? He says a worker. So a Bible student is a laborer that need not be ashamed. He says rightly dividing the words of truth. Amen. Amen. Rightly dividing the words of truth. That is the word ototomio legon aleti. Which is that word ototomio means to be careful. So I will be careful with how I teach you. I'll be careful with the words I use. I'll be careful with how I say it too, how I say what I'm saying. I won't just say carelessly. Hope you're following me. I don't just say carelessly. Be careful. Amen. So Bible study involves carefulness. Carefulness. Hope you're following me. It involves what? Carefulness. You can't be careless. Amen.
You can't be careless.
You can't use an example. You can't be using example of you are teaching the believers and you are using example of let me just, can't you see? Can you see Dangote? Don't you know that the wealth of the nations are piled up for the saints? What nonsense is that? Hallelujah. Can't you see it? if Jesus was there, would you say that nonsense? Just sitting down. That was funny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. So let's continue. So it involves careful presenting. Right? Anagenos skill. You must look at it again. You must, and I will say in anagenos skill, you must understand the background of study, right? Matthew 19:8. It says, Jesus, because of the hardness of your heart. So that is background. The reason for the a bill of divorcement is because of the hardness of your heart. Unbelief. Right? So that means you will see a lot of permissiveness. You see God tolerating their... We'll see that also as we look at Galatians. Now we'll see that God will have to tolerate their custom. Tolerate their... Do you understand me? Some of their belief system. Right? Right? But from the beginning... It was not. Hope you are following me. So, where are we going to find the perfect picture? Genesis. Hope you are following me. So, because Genesis is God's blueprint. Right? Right? Exodus is what? Types and shadows. Follow me. Genesis is God's blueprint. Exodus is what? Types and shadows. Hope you are following that. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Okay. I was saying in the background of study, you need to cross the language barriers, right? Between the two worlds. Jesus did the same. In his didache, which is what Dameneu, another pastor just is Dameneu. I mean didache is Dameneu. In Luke 24:27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That's what diamenu. So, in understanding Jesus' diamenu, or in understanding, in crossing the language barrier rather, you have to take the seat of the first audience when they heard the word. So that means Jesus took his audience to the seat of the first audience. I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. That's what diamenu. Diamenu. You have to sit in the seat of the first audience. Now, even in the 39 books, the Old Testament books, where they still had to do a dameneu, right? Nehemiah 8:8, he gave a sense. Because language evolves. But the truth about God does not evolve. Amen? So that means, a word cannot be today. Or a word cannot mean today what it doesn't mean when it was first written. Do you get me? So that means, when I hear the word, for example, when I hear the word, oh, God. Amen. And there's no question, right? Amen. Come on. Amen. So, when, in crossing the language barrier, is that where we were? So you see, we take the seat of the first audience, right? And we have to hear what they heard. Hear what they heard. So that means we
focus in their world first.
So let's proceed. So, we said you have to sit in the seat of the first audience when they heard the word. Right? And they're sitting in the seat of first audience, we first interpret those words first in their world. Right? So therefore, if I must understand words used in their language or in their world, I must therefore know what was their mode of communication. and then interpret it in my world today. So what is their mode of interpretation? We said, well, in their mode of interpretation, they had figure of speech, they used parables, right? We saw that last time, right? They used figures of speech, a lot of illustrations to drive home the point. So that means in sitting, they're taking that seat, I have to understand the force in their world. Why was it used? Sometimes also have to understand what their culture is, what was happening right in their world. So because if you understand what was happening right in their world in those days, you understand why the writer had to employ the use of some certain words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said the four gospels are epistles, are a revelation of the 39 books, right? Their explanation of it. Therefore, interpreted in another world also. I will therefore have to cross the language barrier within two words and interpret it in my world today. So there are two words now, the Greek and the Hebrew, right? Now, let me put it this way. The Greek is actually interpretation, right? Right? Explanation of the 39 books. Are you following me? So if the Greek is the explanation of the 39 books, wow, not in my own language too. Was not even written to me. So that means the 39, the Greek, which is the synoptic and the epistles, have their own audience that is not still me. Do you understand me? So that means I have to also understand what was obtainable in their world, the world of the four gospels and the epistles. Do you get me? What was obtainable in that world? What was obtainable in this world? Then I have to marry it and cross the language barriers. Hallelujah. Also, I have to understand what is the background in the four gospels and the epistles. Do you get me? Understand those things too and then bring it to my world today. Hallelujah. And in doing so, I should also know that words in the epistles and four gospels will have their concepts where in the 39 books, right? But that was where they read from. Hallelujah. The same way we are reading from there today, right? Hallelujah. So their words will have its origin in the 39 books. So that will be very important as we start. Hope you are following me. So yesterday, was it yesterday? 2 days ago, right? We began looking at who is Paul. Did you answer that? Paul is an apostle. So now that apostolic call of Paul, which can be traced to Acts 9, right? Acts 9, Acts 13, right? Being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, but the being sent forth by the Holy Ghost came from Acts 9. Hope you are following me. Understanding that, because Paul will have to put up a defense of his apostleship in Galatia. Because part of the, we'll get to Galatians soon. Hallelujah. You have to put a defense of his apostleship in Galatia to the church in Galatia. Hallelujah. All are following me? Because they actually did deny his apostleship. Or they questioned it. So we have to put up a defense. Glory to God. So let's see. Why are epistles? Why did the apostles write the epistles? How about that for Iran? The apostles wrote the epistles. Amen? So why did they write the epistles? You know, was the epistles, listen, I want to ask this question. Was the epistles how they taught? Or let me put it like this. The epistles, was it how they taught? In the church. Was the epistles how they taught? No. All the teachings of the epistles, or all the teachings by the apostles, is not what you have as epistles. Do you understand me? Hope you understand me. Paul taught in Acts 13, Acts 14, right? Acts 16, glory to God. So I'm going to show you something now. Maybe I didn't capture my question well. But I don't know how to even frame it. But so that you know. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me show you something. So let me read what I have in my notes. Why did they write the apostles? First of all, most of the epistles were written to the churches, right? To the gatherings of believers. And they are to be read openly, right? They are to be read openly first. Look at Colossians 4. So this Colossians 4 is already, right? Right? This epistle is to be read openly. So it will be read openly. Right? Colossians 4 is saying. They read it openly. Now, something you have to see is the fact that, for example, before the epistles were written to the churches, what were they teaching? They were teaching from Moses' book. They were teaching Paul's message. Paul has taught them. So they just kept reminding themselves. So the letters were not written when the pastors were there. So when Paul was around, Paul didn't need to write them later. Hope you understand me. Paul will teach. Right? Hope you're following me. So listen to me very well. So the letters were written because of what? The writer was not present with the church. Right? Right? Was not present with them, maybe physically. So he had to write to them. But before he wrote to them, what were they teaching? They were teaching the same thing they have been taught. Glory to God. From where? From the 39 books. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So we say the epistles will be a summary of their teaching notes. Right? Glory to God. Four of the epistles were written to pastors. Timothy, Timothy 1st and 2nd, Philemon and Titus, right? Arguably, someone would say 2nd and 3rd John, because it was written to Gaius, right? 2nd John was written to Gaius. Maybe no. Even the book of Revelation was written to the seven churches in Asia. Amen? Hope you are following me. Aha. So, now, have to see. When Paul wrote to Timothy, Timothy was not there. Timothy was not with Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very important. So let's say something. Letters were written when the writer was not dead, right? Right? Also too, in the Old Testament books, or in the 39 books, they were written, they were documented so that they can be passed to other generations. Are documented to be passed from generation to generation. Right? Hallelujah. Habakkuk will say the vision is on appointed time. Right? So he that runneth may read. So it's kept, it's passed from generation to generation. If you read Deuteronomy 17. For Moses was to write to them concerning the king when they get to the land of Canaan. Moses was not going there, but Moses wrote concerning how they would have a king. That God is going to be your king, but I know a time will come you will ask for a king. So when you want to ask for a king, these are the... So, it was not a generation you wrote to that inquired for a king. I hope you are following me. Amen? It was now in the days of Samuel that they now inquired for a king. I hope you are following that. Glory to God. So, that generation, where would they now look at the principles from? Moses. So it was passed from generation to generation. Something like that. That is it. So, let's say the first time we saw letters written to the churches in the book of Acts will be Acts 15. And it was written to what? It was written to restore order. Acts 15. It was written to what? Restore order. Acts 15, look at verses 2. It says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas, look at verse 1, and certain of the men which came down from Judea taught the brethren that except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. What kind of nonsense is this? So you have this, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't take it, they said they had no small dissension and disputation with them. Did you see that? So now they went to the council and then they wrote them a letter. Hallelujah. So the council took a decision and then they wrote a letter. So the letter, look at verse 22. Then it pleased it that the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, son named Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia. Did you see that? Hope you are following. Glory to God. Look at verses 27. It says, we have sent Judas and Silas to tell you the same thing by way of what? By way of what? So what was written is to be explained. Hope you are following me. So it didn't stop them from going to church. This stopped them from hearing. I hope you are following me. Did you go? So it was to restore order. They were other people began to teach concerning what the law of Moses, customs. Now I showed us that last session, right? Right? So most times when you say the law of Moses, you have to ask yourself which law. So context will reveal what the law is. We're going to see some of them in a bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Context will show you. You discover that what is called the law of sin and death is actually what constant. I mean, it's actually, you know it from context. Hallelujah. You are following me? So, in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1, Paul had to write a letter to, look at 1 Corinthians 7, 1. He says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, so that means, they wrote letters, they wrote epistles to do what? To answer questions. Did you see that? Answer questions. Maybe concerning matters raised by the congregation. Did you see that? Or matters arising in the congregation. They can ask questions. Also, letters are written to remind of, or to remind them of the facts of the things that they know. Letters are written like a reminder. Philippians 3 verse 1. Philippians 3 verse 1. It says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but to you it is saved. It is saved. Did you see that? It says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the constitution. That means he has taught them before. Hallelujah. So he's reminding them. In 2 Peter 3:1-2, 2 Peter 3, verse 1, look at what Paul, look at what Peter was saying. It is beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Is that? You write to stir up their minds in the way of remembrance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's written to put them in remembrance, or that is to remind them of the fact of what they already know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The same thing to remind us, like to Paul, I mean to Timothy, we saw reminders, right? Right? Concerning others in the church, how to handle the flock, how to do those things, right? Letters were written. So let's begin to get through to the church in Galatia. Galatia. No, so the Galatian church. The Galatian church is a church planted by Paul, right? We are getting to Galatians soon. Let's begin to cross into Galatia. Let's see how we can do it today. Hallelujah. Going to Galatians. Let's see Paul. Let's see some things about Paul. Amen. You know, there is this talk. Okay, let me just say this. Look at what Peter will say concerning Paul in 2 Peter 3:15. He said, "And I count that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also concerning the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles." Speaking to them, Peter is recommending Paul's epistle. Can you see that? Speaking in them of things in which some are hard to be understood. Do you see that? Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scriptures. So they don't just misread Paul's scripture. They say other scriptures too. Did you see that? Amen. As they do other scriptures, do their own destruction. Do you see that? So that means Paul's letters are letters that you have to carefully study. Right? Carefully study, you pay attention to details. Not just that, you have to read Paul's letter with the 39 books, the Old Testament books, right? Because that would be the explanation. So you don't just go, hey, hoo-ha, no. You have to read them and be careful. Hallelujah. Go on. So, very, very important. So let's begin to dive into the book of Galatians. So, though, the book of Galatians did not come without some argument by scholars as regards... Now, there is no argument as regards who the authorship of the book is, because it's Paul. Paul wrote it. Hallelujah. But there has been a bit of argument as to which, and to me I feel it's just unnecessary. Which part of Galatia was he writing to? Is it North Galatia or South Galatia? That is irrelevant. Hallelujah. Or where was he written? We're going to look at that. Hallelujah. But the book of Galatia, number one, is a book that was not expressly written like the name you hear in... The only time you find the book of Galatia is in Acts 16, when the Bible says Acts 16, when it says they passed by the region of Galatia, but they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. That should be Acts 16 verse 18 to 9 to go into Asia. Do you understand me? And why did they pass by Galatia? That was not when they went to Galatia the first time. No. Because if you read Acts 15 towards the end, they were determined to go and see their brethren like a follow-up. Do you understand me? Hope you are following me. Aha. So that you understand that. That was not the first time Paul went to Galatia. In fact, just have it there. Amen? So that is why the question now asks, what is it not or no? Don't get yourself into all those things. Glory, glory, glory. So the group of Galatia is a church that Paul himself planted. Hallelujah. And it is believed to be it was planted during his first missionary journey to Asia Minor. That would be around Acts 13. Don't know if it's written, but around Acts 13 into Acts 14. Being sent by the Holy Ghost. Did you remember that? Acts 13 3, sorry. So where did they go to? It is, verse 4. Being sent by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from then sailed to Cyprus. You see that? And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministers. Amen. And when they had gone through the eyes of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name is Bar Jesus. You know, things like that. So Galatia was a province of the Romans. So it's even called the Roman province of Galatia. Hallelujah. And Paul was there in his first missionary journey was around AD 46 to AD 47. AD 46 to AD 48. Now, why would Paul write? Paul would have to write to them because of an impending issue in the church. I'm going to run through my my partner coming in. My note, I teach him to be more clear. Let's use it.
Okay, let me use my personal study note. Okay. Okay. So the Galatian church. Okay. Before okay, what I have in my teaching with my study notes is this: the Paul's first missionary journey, just before Acts 15. I didn't study them together. This is for that study. This is first study. Hallelujah. So, okay, before Acts 15. Oh, okay. Okay. So, Paul was writing to them based on the an impending issue as they began to embrace false doctrine by the Judaizers. They began to embrace false doctrine by the Judaizers, Judaizing practices. Hallelujah. And in Judaizing practices, they taught them that they should practice Moses' custom. Practice Moses' customs. And with these practices came questioning of Paul's apostleship. So the book of Galatians will be like Paul's response, put Paul's defense, or we put Paul setting things right and bringing order to the church in Galatia. So the question, another question that was being asked is whether the book of Galatians was written before Acts 15. Or, you know, there are a group of scholars that say it was written before Acts 15. Another group of scholars says the reason for Acts 15 was the book of Galatians. Well, I mean, it was the Galatian church. Okay, but so another scholars now say, no, the book of Galatians came after Acts 15. In either way, I'm going to leave that open for today. Glory to God. I'll leave that open for today. But I strongly believe the book of Galatians was written immediately after Acts 15. And I have a reason for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have a reason for that. But can be opposed. And the reason for that was because the matter in Acts 15, which we are going to look at shortly, was not resolved. And because that matter was not resolved, Paul had to sort the one in the church. But this is my way. So we are following you. Paul had to immediately. They didn't resolve it well. Glory to God. And because they didn't resolve it, it caused a bigger issue. But not well resolved. So I strongly believe that the book of Galatians was written shortly after Acts 15. I believe. Amen. Glory to God. I strongly believe that. Glory to God. So is the Roman province, and then they had, you know, for them to have Judaizing, that means they had Jews around their midst, right? They had Jews converts around their midst. They had Judaizers. Judaizers are those who practice Jewish culture. Do you understand me?
So, and Judaizing began to spread. Amen. That means
going to deal with this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that will take us to some of the issues that Paul will have to deal with in Galatians. I'll call it things, but looking at it, let's just put it under things. Is that the thing of false teaching? You have to deal with false teachers. If you look at Galatians quickly, Galatians 1:8 quickly. Let's go to Galatians 1:8. Look at what Paul says. It says, verse 7 says, 6, I marvel that ye are so removed from him and has called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Do you see that? Now, uses the word another gospel. That is what the heteros. Heteros means a different gospel. Amen? He uses the word, now, Paul plays with a choice with words there. It's something we'll look at when we begin to read in Galatians 1:7. He plays with words. There. Look at verse 6, it says that you are removed from him that has called you to grace of Christ. Now when you see the word grace of Christ, that is the word charis, right? So it makes them see that, say, He brings in that fact of salvation. That fact of salvation that says, there's no works to salvation, right? There's no works to salvation. He said it is a free. So he's telling us that salvation is a free gift. Do you understand me? I hope you're following me. The same thing he will write to the church in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, I hear. He said, least as Satan beguile Eve, that your mind may be corrupted away from the simplicity. Do you see that? Simplicity. Now he puts it there as grace. So that means he talks about the freeness. Let me tell you, the freeness or the gospel. Sorry, let me put it this way. It talks about salvation without works, right? It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. Hallelujah. It's called into the grace of Christ. You see that? Unto another gospel. That is what heteros euangelion. Heteros euangelion. Another gospel. Now he plays with another word there. He now uses which is not another. You see that? Now, you know, you can say, what is he saying? He said to another gospel, he said it's not one another. What does that mean? No. He produced another word there, allos. Allos means the same. So it means, which is not the same gospel. You see that? It's a different gospel entirely. He said, there are some who that trouble you. So he calls that what they began to embrace. He calls it the trouble. That's the word teroso. Teroso. To trouble you. Now that was, so that means Paul equates false doctrine with persecution. Because teroso is used for persecution. So he said there are some that trouble you. You see that? So false doctrine can be likened to persecution. Say they trouble you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. Do you see that? So that brings us to that thing of what? Of false teaching. So the church of Galatia had those who taught them that they must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. That's what they taught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at chapter 3. You see, look at verse 2. You see, this I only want to learn of you. Receive ye by the Holy Ghost by works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Because, see, you haven't begun in the spirit. How can you now be made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered many things in vain? If they be in vain. Say, he therefore that ministered to you the spirit and walketh miracle among you, does it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So they began to embrace Judaism. And Judaism is in twofold. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. That they will have to keep the law of Moses. An issue that Paul and Barnabas have to deal with in Acts 15. Look at Acts 15 very well. We're going to read from verse 1. Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas have to deal with that issue. I will jump to verses 1. Certain men came down from Judea, called the brethren, that except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Did you see that Judaism? That is Judaism. So you have to be circumcised. Now, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and a certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So when they ask the question, look at verse 5. Now what was their question? That they cannot be saved except they do what? Except they keep the law of Moses. This is interesting. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. It says, but there arose up some certain of the set of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Well, this is not the first time they had to, this is not the first time dealing with false prophets came to the scene, right? So the background of false prophets or false teachings like this will be Genesis 3. We've seen that, right? Serpents and the woman. And Paul will say, as the serpent beguiled the woman, right? Look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Let's read that. Well, I'm not spending much time here because I've thought about this, right? I've thought about this. So you get these messages before now. Right? I thought about it. I thought it during CRT. I thought it during understanding the gospel. I thought it during last year CRT. I thought it during believers convention. So I believe I've been able to. So that is why I'm not spending time going to Genesis 3. But Genesis 3 will be the background, which is the serpent. And Paul will now interpret it in chapter 11. Verse 2 as, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you unto one husband, and I may be returned to a chaste, as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, that the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it makes you see that the issue in in Genesis 3, is actually what? False teaching, false doctrine. Hallelujah. So that means that conversation between Eve and the serpent, you don't know that it is false teaching, but what Paul or what Moses makes us see is that there's a supernatural force involved, right? In perverting the gospel. Supernatural force. We're going to look at all that soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So false teaching or false teachers are those that Moses and the apostles will have to deal with, even the prophets have to deal with. In Deuteronomy 13, Moses shows us how to know a false prophet, a false teacher, a false teaching. Deuteronomy 13. Are you there? He says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give it thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign and the wonder come to pass, whereof he speaks unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken to his words of that prophet or that dreamer of dream, for the Lord of God. Did you see that? So a false prophet is not because the prophecy came to pass, or it does a miracle, and a miracle came to happen, or somebody got, woo, that's a true man of God. No, that's not the job. Hallelujah. There you go. A false prophet will be known by his words. Will be known by his words. By their message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Will be known by their message. So in the book of Acts, the apostles, especially Paul, had to deal with them. How to deal with this set of people, false teachers, false prophets. Right? Hallelujah. In Acts 15. So remember, in verse 1 we read that the Judaizers, as they say, except one is circumcised, he is not saved. That is even better. Look at verse 5. He says, and there arose of certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So this one is subtle but yet very dangerous. Amen? Subtle but yet dangerous. It is. Because it is an addition. You are saved. Now say you have to then keep the law of Moses. It's an addition. When the force which says except you are circumcised, you are not saved, that one is even easy. We know you are not born again. Say you know. Easy. Why you know you're born again? There was a time I met someone years back. I went out for evangelism. I met the person. And I was not teaching the person. I now asked the person, are you born again? The person now responded, hey, I'm born again. And I said, how do you know you're born again? And I said, I keep the law of Moses. I said, what is the law of Moses? In answer, I don't used to lie. Look at it. Even when they preach for you, sometimes they throw some. Hallelujah. You were just talking a lot of things. I try to live a holy life. I don't. I just want to see it. Let me tell you. You're not born again. But they said something about I keep the law of Moses in Romans. I can't forget that. I wanted to laugh. But I just heard myself. This is. Let me tell you the truth. And that person was bros. The bros, let me tell you the truth. Just back, I was sitting, that should be a person, I'm there about. I said, let me tell you the truth. straws. There are nobody there. Nobody there. So that one is easy to just know. Share you get. You just easy to know. I ain't born again. No, I believe I'm saved. Why? Because I used to confess my sins. I've never heard people like that. Even in this generation. You deal with something, that one is easy. Only the one that is now saved, is born again, and says, but I'm just keeping, I'm born again, I believe in Jesus, but I'm just keeping. That is an addition. I'm not different from the man that is born again and goes to collect jars. If I heard something, we were coming here. And I was listening to the platform. So the guy said something, that one was, he shook the table. He said, today's jazz, a jazz man will give you pin, staple pin. He said, that is technology. Technology has entered jazz. He said, then when it was real jazz, the Shango people, with their real jazz, they were not like, who, you see jazz, maybe. He said, but how did they use, what did they use to colonize us? They didn't use double barrel, no. They used gunpowder, and the Shango priest will run. I said, this is serious. you didn't catch that. I said, they use gunpowder. You know what they're called gunpowder? It's not the real double barrel AK-47 anti-aircraft missile. No. They just use gunpowder. Gunpowder is just small wood. Our jazz then could not stand it. They colonized us with our jazz. These days, why didn't they use their jazz to chase white man? Need your eyes clear. Your eyes should clear. Okay, hallelujah. So, where was I? Okay. So the dangerous one is that addition. And this will lead to those that Paul in the book of Galatians will call false brethren. False brethren. Who is a false brethren? A false brethren is one who is never saved, but thinks he is saved by the law. And is also one who thinks he is righteous by the law. Do you understand? Hallelujah. He thinks he's righteous by the law. They are false brethren. They will bring trouble. Say that. They are false brethren. Glory to God. So the origin of this in the book of Acts could be traced to Acts 6. Where did false brethren, how did they come in? Acts 6 verse 7. Yeah, Acts 6 verse 7. Acts 7. It says, and the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Is that? Hallelujah. When it said a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So that was where they came in from. Hallelujah. That was the first time we found or we see the priests being saved. So though they were saved, right? They brought him their Jewish what? Culture. I hope you are following that. These are, you know, the priests too were custodians of the customs. I hope you are following the customs of Moses. Right? So they were saved. And what did they come in with? They came in with their tradition. You know, the disciples were like that too. The apostles were like that. Act 1. After Jesus was done teaching them, their menu, on the menu, on the teaching, on the teaching. Yes! In verse 7, they say, sir, we understand all your words. Sir, thank you for teaching us like this. You are a man sent from God. Sir, without you, you are the voice of stability in our world. Sir, after you, there's no like you. You are the apostle, apostolic, apostolos, everything in our world. But sir, one question, sir. Sir, who you are this time? restore again
the kingdom of Israel.
When Jesus was going to teach them about the kingdom of God, and as we at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel back to Israel. You know, that was just, that was the height of it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So the apostles were like that. But what did Jesus do? When they asked him that question, at this point, you know, if Jesus didn't answer that question, Jesus didn't deal with them then. Didn't deal with that. They will start teaching the restoration of Israel is coming soon. Hope you know that. But Jesus immediately said, no, it's not for you to know. Do you know what you're following? It's not for you to know. It's not, just say no. When you're going to say it's not for you. Ah, hallelujah. So that was a direct closure of that chapter forever. Rather, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You will be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. So that means what I'm talking about is not about any national salvation or national redemption. No, I'm talking about that which is found in me. Glory to God. So Jesus dealt with it immediately. So I said this in my notes. For Jesus, to learn to rebuke such questions that comes up in discipleship about belief systems. Sometimes there are people that you have been teaching. When you are not teaching them, they are asking you funny questions. Have you heard about the 14 wonders of the world? I'm teaching you what is in Christ, the 14 wonders of the world.
No.
Hope you are following me. I'm teaching you about miracle signs and wonders. I say, sir, have you heard? Sir, can you explain to me the importance?
No. Learn salvation.
Hope you are following me. So those things, you have to be firm about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what needs to be debunked should be done with all seriousness in discipleship. All those funny questions that need to be debunked it well. Hope you are following me. Debunk it very well.
Because
you don't deal with those issues, it will lead to a bigger problem. Just like what the apostle did in Acts 15.
Now back to Acts 15, are you there? Now, let's see how they concluded that matter. Are you in Acts 15? Okay. Look at what the pastor said. That is James. Look at verse 14. Simon had declared how God did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And so this agreed the words of the prophet as it is written. After this I will return and build again the tabernacles of David, which is fallen down, and I will build it again. The ruins thereof I will set it up. And the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God, are all the works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is this. Now look at what he said. We trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but we write to them that they must abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things that strangled from blood. For Moses of old time, had in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So when they wrote the letter, look at verse 28. It says that ye abstain from meat offered to idol, from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornications, which things if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Hallelujah. So they didn't handle it well. Glory to God. Glory to God. And it led to a bigger issue. Look at Acts 21.
they were the ones that plotted against Paul. Even at that point, the disciples couldn't, the apostles couldn't even save Paul. Because Judaism has grown. You see that? It has spread. So the apostles couldn't even save Paul. Hallelujah. They were the ones that took the whole, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. That's false on how it can spread. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. The one that took a hold of Paul in Acts 21. So the fact that they didn't deal with the issue well in Acts 15 became a stumbling block to the gospel in Acts 21. In fact, they have to conspire with men in the world to arrest Paul. They conspired with the chief priests to arrest Paul. The same way they did to Jesus. Hallelujah. To arrest Paul. In fact, they wanted him dead. So look at how Paul will now put this set of people. False teaching, false doctrine. In 1 John chapter 2, look at what Paul, look at what John will say to concerning them. 1 John 2:19. He said, as our prophet says, he said, little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are many antichrists. You see that? Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. That means they were numbered with them. You see that? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they've been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not of us. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Antichrist is not a person. The Antichrist is a person. The same way Christ is a message of Scripture, right? What is Christ? Christ is both a person and a message of Scripture, right? Right? Look at Luke 24. Say, ought not the Christ. Right? It says, these are the old fruits of the baby, not the prophet that spoke. Genesis, down to Malachi, right? Says, ought not the Christ. That is the conclusion of what they ought not the Christ to suffer these things. So what will be the Antichrist? The Antichrist will be a message. Hallelujah. Very well. The Antichrist is a message. Not of Christ. Hallelujah. Antichrist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Antichrist. Not of Christ. Glory to God. So, in the book of Galatians, Paul will have to deal with the issue of Judaism. Or put it, Judaizers. And in Galatians, how will he deal with it? It will come with a lot of rebuke, a lot of correction. Hallelujah. Because they're all foolish Galatians who have been that. That's how we deal with issues like that. Hallelujah. Very well. Issues that border on faith. Issues that border on salvation. You don't take it lightly. Issues that try to contradict. To say what is not taught for people. Hallelujah. You don't take it with a pinch of salt. No. Hallelujah. You don't take it with a pinch of salt. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. You don't take it with a pinch of salt. Don't take it with a pinch of salt. No. The Bible says, Paul and Barnabas. This is taking lightly with those guys. Glory to God. You don't take it lightly. Don't say, actually. No! Salvation is a free gift. Amen? Anything that brings works. Works like that. So faith. You say no. You don't treat it lightly. You don't treat Antichrist message. The pinch of salt. Be loud. And I will give you that the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. Glory to God. Don't treat false message, false teaching with a pinch of salt. Ha.
No. Glory to God. Amen. Literally, you know, another set of people that the disciples had to deal with is those money gospelers.
No money gospel? Hallelujah. Don't be no. Look at what Peter told Simon, the sorcerer. He said your money perish with you. You think you can buy you can buy the gospel? Your money perish with you. See, you think you can buy the you do think you can buy the gift of the Spirit? So your money perish with you. Where's your money? Come on, so it's that you can take, that you can connect and receive. What do you want to tell me that? You can't buy the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Money gospel. Crystal money. Any God that cannot provide you, any God that cannot make you wealthy can is not a God you serve. That's nonsense. Being wealthy has got to do with you. Sit in your house and not go to work and tell me you'll be wealthy. You will die in hunger. Amen. For how to deal with the Judaizers. Hallelujah. So, what was their major focus? Circumcision, right? Right? So Paul had to deal with circumcision. Circumcision. So they had another
thing. Okay, another thing we find is the theme of circumcision. That word circumcision is a word that implies to cut individual. To cut
round. Okay, look at Jesus. Let's start from there. John 7:22. Let's see from Jesus. Remember we said words like that will have their background where? In the 39 books, right? So John 7:32. John 7:22. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the Father. And here on the Sabbath day circumcised a man. Did you see that? So when Jesus said is of the Father, he said it's not from Moses, it's of the Father. That means it means it is a tradition from Abraham, because when you find circumcision first, will be Abraham. Hallelujah. Some people have to go to Abraham. Let's begin to look at what circumcision is. Hallelujah. Are we following circumcision? So let's get to Abraham. Circumcision. Let's read the concept of circumcision. Genesis 17. And how, you know, when we see it from Genesis into the prophets, right? We now see that how Paul and Jesus will use circumcision will be the same way the prophets have written it. So now they have to say, where did the Judaizers get all their teachings from? Do you understand? You discover that, see, what Moses did was to, okay, looking at Abraham, now he gave them to show you who he knew what he was writing in Genesis concerning Abraham, right? So the circumcision will be concerning redemption. But you might give them a physical circumcision which was obtainable in their world. Obviously, though in their world there were people who fought against circumcision, like the Philistines. You understand? That is why David would say, you want circumcised Philistines. You get me? Now, there were people that fought against it, but circumcision was good health wise. So Moses would now borrow that. And I'll say, that is how God will circumcise your heart. Do you understand me? Hope you're following me. You already know? So, now, the Judaizers will now carry, they now adopted that culture as their culture. Now brought it, thinking that is how, I'm going to show you something. So, they now say, because God told Abraham to circumcise himself. If not, to kill. Did you get it? So, based on that, for you to be reconciled, for you to be saved, you have to be circumcised. And we're going to see what Moses will now use that, what happened to Abraham. We're going to teach them, before you can be a partaker of the Passover, you have to be circumcised. Before you can eat of the Passover, before you can celebrate with the Passover, you must be circumcised. To make you know, come on, Come on. What does that mean? Circumcision of the heart. Do you get me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Will now make you become partaker of the Passover. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. But they will not take it literally. Hope you are following that. Remember, I said, what behind the scripture? Man's custom. Right? What behind the scripture is man's thinking. Glory to God. Hope you are following me.
Uh-huh.
So, let's get back. Hope you. I have just run through what I want to teach you now, but let's get back and see from Genesis. Genesis. Chapter number 17. Okay. Are you there? What I did was just an overview, so we'll look at it together. Genesis 17 verse 10. It said, for this is my covenant. Ye shall keep between me and thy seed, and after, and thy seed after thee. Every man's child among thee shall be what? Shall be what? Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and...
Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Hope you are there.
Yes, sir.
A token of the what? Covenant. So, it says, and he shall... He and... Sorry. Look at verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child. You see why the reason why man child was actually used. Man child of the generation that is born in the house of or brought with money or any stranger which is not of thy seed. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. He that is born in thy house and he that is brought with thy money must need be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Did you see that?
Now when it says everlasting covenant, you know it's talking about something, right?
Know the God? So it says that a part. So how will you become part of the covenant? By circumcision. Oh, you are following me.
By what? Circumcision. I want you to look at what Paul will bring this out to you. Amen?
Amen.
Know the God?
So when was Abraham circumcised? Act Genesis 17. Right? Paul is going to bring this out.
We're going to see shortly. And you're going to see that Paul will bring it out on faith issues. I mean, when he talks about faith, we're going to see that very shortly.
Now look at verses 14. And the uncircumcised man whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He had broken my...
Hope you are seeing that. Glory to God. So for you to be part of the covenant, you have to be circumcised. Amen? Amen?
Glory to God. So how did Abraham enter into the covenant? How was Abraham justified?
Where was he justified? Genesis 15. Covenant, I mean the circumcision came Genesis 17. This is important.
Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Okay. So remember, it says sons are to be circumcised.
Right? Uh-huh. Take notes because it will point to salvation path. Just something around that line.
So look at chapter 37. Verse 17. Exodus 37, verse 17. Are you there? It says, and the man said, no. Genesis 37. I guess I mixed that up. Sorry, I have it here. Then 34 verse 7. And the sons of Jacob. Verse 17, right. Okay. Now it says, but if ye will not hearken unto us, be circumcised, then we'll take our daughters and we will be gone. Do you see that? Okay. Something around that. Just for you to see. Look at Exodus 12, verse 44. Now, Moses to the children of Israel.
Right? You know, he said the circumcision was not of Moses. It was from the fathers, right? So we see this from the fathers, right? Okay. Now let's see how Moses will now bring it to them. Chapter 12 of Exodus, verses 44. Are you there? Okay, 44. It says, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when he when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. Eat of what? The Passover. Hallelujah. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. If one's house shall be, if one's house shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad, out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be what? And let them come near and keep it. And it shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Is it the same thing with Abraham? Hallelujah. To enter the covenant, to eat of the Passover, you have to be circumcised. Whether you're a foreigner, for a foreigner to be partaker of this, come on, he has to be circumcised. Come on! A foreigner, an uncircumcised person, will have to be circumcised for him to be a partaker. Very good. Now, I've told us severally that when you get to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy will be what? Come on, second law, right? Deuteronomy will be Moses' teaching notes. That's what I told us, right? That will be Moses' teaching notes. Let's see how Moses will teach it in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10, circumcision. Deuteronomy 10, are you there? Okay, are you in Deuteronomy 10? Verses 16. Are you there? Okay, let's see this. It says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your... Come on, you're not there. Deuteronomy 10, 16, are you there? It says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your... The foreskin of your...
Heart.
Foreskin of your heart. And be no more...
Stiffness.
Stiffness is used for what? Unbelief. This is what Moses is teaching. So, remember I told them to circumcise. Right? To be a partaker of the Passover. Now he's teaching them. Now it's all about what? Faith. And be not stiffness. You see that? So it says, circumcise your heart. You know you can't carry knife and cut your heart now, right? He said, and be not stiff-necked. Stiff-necked there is used for unbelief. So that means the word circumcised, when you circumcise your heart, will be used as a symbol to believe. Do you see that? As a symbol to what? Believe. Look at chapter 30 again. Verse 6. Now he says circumcised. He told them to circumcise, right? Now let's see how that circumcision will take place. Chapter 30, verse 6. Are you there? He says what? And the Lord thy God will do what? The Lord thy God will do what? Will circumcise your heart. Who will circumcise your heart? The Lord thy God will circumcise your heart and the heart of all thy seed. So love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. With all thy soul, that thou might live. This day Jesus is going to read from. Where? What is the greatest commandment? Love them. So who will circumcise the heart first?
God be.
Do you see that? That is faith in God. Oh, they're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he makes us see that the circumcision is God's work. This circumcision is what? God's work. Now look at how Ezekiel will put it. Jeremiah. Let's get to Ezekiel 36. Come on. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Okay. He says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of... Now let's read it the other way. I will take you from among the uncircumcised. Is that the heathen?
Yes, sir.
Come on. All other nations will be uncircumcised. Israel will be circumcised, right? I will take you from among the uncircumcised and gather you out of all their country and bring you into your own. Into your own. I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I clean you. A new heart Is it? I won't put it like this. I will circumcise your heart. Is that it? Come on. I will circumcise your heart. And a new spirit will I put within you. Is that the circumcision of the heart? Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Okay. Let's see how Jeremiah will put it. Jeremiah will be reading from Moses too. Come on, let's see Jeremiah 4:4. Are you there? He says, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. Say, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. So he says, you should do what? Circumcise your heart. If they tell you, repent. Hallelujah. Amen. Circumcise your heart. So that means what was important was not the circumcision of their skin. You know that? What was important was the circumcision of their heart. Repentance. Hope you are following me. Repentance. That was what was important. So that means, come on. So it implies that the culture of circumcision is used by God, though it will be good for health implication. Hallelujah. But it's used to teach faith in God. You see that? I'm not saying circumcision. Medical practitioners have said circumcision of the foreskin for a male is good for what? It's good for the health, right? Health-wise is good, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But look at it. But Moses will employ that practice, right, to teach faith in God. Hallelujah. Based on this, the writer of the synoptic would teach, the writers of the synoptic would teach faith in God from it and not the custom. That's the writer of the synoptic. That's the writer of the synoptic. The writers of the New Testament books, right?
Hallelujah. So when you now read Jesus, look at how Jesus
would now put it. Look at Jesus. It's John 7. Again, where we read earlier on. John 7:22-23. It says, Moses therefore gave you the circumcision, not because it's from Moses, but it's of the fathers. Now when we say he gave you the circumcision, it means he gave you the custom of circumcision, right? Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Not because it's from Moses, but because it's of the fathers. Hope you're following me. It's of the who? Fathers. Okay? Because of the fathers. Now if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. So that means you don't do any work on Sabbath day, right? But on the Sabbath day you can be circumcised. It's not broken. Hallelujah. What is Moses doing by that? If you can circumcise on the Sabbath day. That is happening.
You know, 8 days. Right? Give birth a day to Sabbath. The circumcision day will be Sabbath day. And you will see the circumcised. It's going to God. Share your following, you see the circumcised. So what was Moses doing? So you should not do any work, but circumcision was this. Get that. It's not wrong. Come on the Sabbath day.
Because it's on the Sabbath day that the heart of man will be circumcised. God's Sabbath. Did you see that? So what do we receive in God's Sabbath? The circumcision of our hearts. Glory to God. So let's see what Jesus now says. So if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, and the law of Moses should not be broken, ye are angry with me because I have made a man very weak whole on Sabbath day. So what has Jesus done? Jesus has just brought in
circumcision on the Sabbath day and equates it to how we make someone whole. He heals someone. Because healing will point to the new way. Therefore, Jesus uses circumcision the same way Moses and God will use it in Genesis. Because the circumcision, miracle points to salvation, right? Right? So Moses will now bring them together.
And it doesn't matter, Jesus will do that. Hallelujah. Oh, you are following me. Okay. Now let's get looking at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you find the word circumcision, those of the circumcision used for those that are of the Jews.
So the Gentiles are called those of the uncircumcised. What are you following me?
Now, there is now this question before we get further. That Paul, you get to see it in Galatians, that Paul
is an apostle to the uncircumcised, while Peter is an apostle to the circumcision. That's it. Well, say Paul, that was what Paul said. That's what Paul said. Paul said, we're going to read that. You have to understand the tense. Because when Paul was to teach in Rome, the Romans, when he went to Rome to teach, they had both the rule, circumcised and the uncircumcised. They had them both.
Paul taught in Jerusalem. Glory to God. So how come people, or you will not get to Galatians, you will read it and say, Paul is an apostle to the circumcision.
Why are the uncircumcision? Why Peter stops saying that I'm not going for me? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. So we'll see all that. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So let's see how Paul taught it, circumcision, in or to the church in Rome. Are you with me? To the church in Rome. Romans chapter 2. Verses 32. Are you there? That's 2:22. It says, Romans 2:22-29. No. Wow. Okay. Okay. I will read the personal notes. Okay. 2:22, are you there? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery. Does thou commit adultery? Where am I reading? I'm coming. Okay, yeah. 22. No. Does thou commit adultery? Thou that harboreth idol, does thou commit sacrilege? Say, thou that makes thy boast of the law. Now, something I have to...
I have been thinking whether to bring it now. But let me bring it here. Now, I told us something the last time. When you hear talk about Moses' law, Romans 8, say the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Is that? And the law of sin and death. Do you get it? So you have to look at critically.
And I showed us the last time. Now most times when you hear the word law, Moses' law, you have to read in context, because many a times what it's referring to was the customs, right? What they had as customs. So, you know, Paul will now call it the works of the law.
So the works of the law will be like a custom. Remember, they were shadows. Type of like the circumcision would say. You see what circumcision is for, right? Now, the shadows will now be what? Circumcising the 8-day circumcision. Did you see that? Now, 8-day, come on. What does 8-day mean in Hebrew? The last day is what? The 7th day. So the 8th day is used for a new beginning. Okay, following you. 8-day means new beginning. So in the new beginning, you have the circumcision. Okay, following that. So what do you have in the 8th day? So you have to know how words are used. The 7th day is the last day. So every day, other day after that is the new beginning. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. So the new beginning. Is that the new creation? New beginning, new creation, new man in Christ. So what do you have? The circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. So you don't have that custom. Moses was not bringing the 8th day, the new beginning, the new creation. Hallelujah. So take a look at that. So when you now, rather than look at what it points to, you know it's Moses' law, circumcise your heart. Right? That the religion of your heart, Deuteronomy 10, now let me do something for you now. Deuteronomy 10:16. Is it his law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Come on! Is it? This is of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Circumcise your heart. Right? Now, Exodus 12. Is it the law of sin and death? This is law of sin and death. Right. So that is custom. So when you now chose that what you see as custom was a symbol, right? To point to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when I live the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and I'm following a custom, I am viewed. That's the law of sin and death. That is the law of sin and death. That's what there is. That is what Paul will call the works of the law. The works of the law, that is the shadows. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me.
Amen. Like I said, all this will be just... I've said things like this. Get to listen to, understand the gospel to be. I spoke about the law, right?
And I said, those will be flash forward to whatever time I'll have to teach us about the law of Moses. Hallelujah. That will be flash forward.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. So let's go ahead. Hope you understand that. So when you now hear law of Moses, no, I showed us something. Where was that again? Let's get to the book of Acts. Somewhere I... Let me get... Quick. Put that on my nose. Okay, are you there? That is Acts 21. Acts 21:21, and this was the Jews. And let's start from verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said to him, "Thou seest." Brother, how many thousands of Jews they are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Did you see that? I will start from verse 17. And when he had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received him gladly, and the day following, Paul went with us into James, and the elders were present. And when they had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought amongst the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said to him, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews they are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And when they are informed of thee, that thou teachest the Jews," this is the apostles that were telling you, they were the Jews, "which are among the Gentiles," did you see that? "To forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither walk after the customs." Did you see that? So they told them to... Did you see what they call Moses here? Customs. "What is it therefore? The multitudes must need come together, for they would hear that thou hast come." Did you see that? So, look at verses 20. What did they deal with? The Jews who are zealous for thee. Who are zealous for thee? Did you see they didn't deal with that? Since when did they not deal with it? Acts 15. Because they were still zealous for the law. So verse 23, rather. "Do therefore this, we say to thee. We have four men." So they told them, "This is what we'll do, that they don't take you, because they will be angry." Because they were zealous for the law. And he asked him to purify himself. Paul had to do all those things. Did it. Verse 24, and take and purify thyself with them, and be at charge with them, that they might shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but thou thyself also walk orderly, and keepest." Did you see that? That is what happens when you begin to allow, how should I put it? As pastors, there are things you don't allow. Hallelujah. Don't allow it to your congregation. Hallelujah. Things like you don't. So they will see that emoji. And they will not say you too. You obey the law. What do they call the law? We keep work after their customs. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So, as touching Gentiles, we believe we have written and concluded. And this is going back to Acts issue. This is that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves off from things over to idol, from blood, let's say it again. Then Paul took the men, the next they purified himself. Paul did it with them. Entered into the temple and signified the covenant of the days of purification until an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now verse 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, he was still doing the purification things. The Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, you know, he has dealt with them in Galatians. When they saw him in the temple, stand up on the people and lay hands on him. Did you see that? Which Jews were they? The Jews in Asia that believed too. No, they were not happy. Crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law. And this place, you see that? What is this place? They see her temple. You know, a Jew has two things, the law and the temple. Yeah. Hallelujah. And further brought Greeks into the temple. And I polluted the holy place. Did you see this? For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Did you see? And all the city was moved. Now all the city, does it include Christian and non-Christian? Christian and non-Christians. Moved! And the people ran together and took Paul and drew him out of the temple. Forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to do what? You know that tidings came to the chief captain and he came to save him. So to make you see how should I put it? The depth of not dealing with issues. Well, this will be for pastors, ministers teaching and things like that, but it's very important. As a pastor. As a cell leader, that thing must deal with. Hallelujah. A friend told me this years back when we were about to start ministry. He said, see, in ministry, there are some things you must make sure you don't allow from the start. Thank God he said those things to me. If not, when years will come by, you will rather than you to that you might not be able to explain it now, but don't allow it. Hallelujah. Because when years get to come by, you will be looking for scripture to back up those acts. Did you see that? Hallelujah. They didn't deal with it. That word grew. A little living. Paul will have to mention that in Galatians too. A little living does what? Living the whole lump. Don't allow it. Hope you are following me. Don't allow it.
Go with your God.
Hope you are following that. So when you hear, I showed you this to make you see that when you hear most times the Moses' law. Like in this context, what was Moses' law? Custom. Do you get that? Moses' law. Now that's custom. We believe the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So why would Moses give them those customs? Because of the hardness of your heart. Did you see that? He will permit those customs. Okay, hallelujah. You will be the better. Amen. So let's begin to close this part. So back to Romans 2, right? We're in chapter 2. Okay. Verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For the circumcision verily profited if you keep the law. You see that? The circumcision verily profited if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision.
He takes them back. Say, even if you are circumcised, eh, and you break the law, it's your circumcision, not uncircumcision. Did you see that? Abi, if you break the law, you will suffer. Right? So, and the circumcision helps you. Look at what Paul is putting forth an argument, because at the church in Rome, they had both the Jews and the Gentiles. So what Paul does is, he brings our life lessons in the foundation of Rome. He says, Paul brought them together. Right? So just with the Jews, just with the Gentiles, he brought them together. So he will call it like they were in a courtroom. Hallelujah. So, look at where he began to deal with them. Hallelujah. Zero them. You also get to the Gentiles. But that's what he did. Hallelujah. So, it says, verse 25, right? 26. Now, say, therefore, if their circumcision keeps the righteousness of the law, shall not their circumcision be counted for circumcision?
This is hard. This is big. Is that? Hey,
27.
And shall not the uncircumcision which is by nature, and shall not uncircumcision which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge thee, who by the latter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is outwardly, neither is the circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision which is of the heart. It goes back again to Deuteronomy 10:16. Did you see that? Of the heart. In the spirit, not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's move up a bit. So, I said Paul addressing the Jews in Rome, and he says to them, the real Jew the real Jew or the real circumcised is the one done in the heart. Did you see that? That is, he calls it in the spirit, right? They are the ones that keep the righteousness of the law. What is righteousness of the law? Circumcise your... Is that the righteousness of the law? The word is nigh thee, right? The word is nigh thee in your heart and in your mouth, that you may do what? Do it. Hallelujah. And it's true. What am I following you? That is the righteousness of the law. Isn't it hard? Look at it in chapter 4, verse 9. I'm just being fast now. I say, blessed, is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Say, commit this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, right? He's going back to Genesis. And he says here, how is it then reckoned? Was it in circumcision or in non-circumcision? Not in circumcision, but in non-circumcision. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Grace, so Abraham was called circumcised, Abraham was called a man of faith, not when he was circumcised, but when he was not yet circumcised. Genesis 15 was circumcised. Was circumcised Genesis 17. What am I following that? So, what then is circumcision? Verse 11. Come on. What then is circumcision? Verse 11. It says, and he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Did you see that? Are you following this? That he might be the father. Now the word father is not that Abraham gave birth to us. No. Father there means model. Is that he might be the model of all them that believe. Did you see that? So Abraham being father, I say, Abraham is my father. No. It's God that is your father.
Amen. It's God that is your father. So why is Abraham called father? Abraham is called father because he is the first who saw in Genesis 15, right? And we follow the steps. He believes God. Hallelujah. So he's called father of faith.
The model of faith. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. But he was not the first to believe, but he was the first written of in that manner, right? Right? Okay. I hope you are following that. Glory to God. So let's move a bit ahead. So, hope you're following Paul's argument in
Romans 4:11. He's bringing them together. He's trying to show you the Jews have this, how do they call this thing? Assumption. They assume it all. Without we, do you get? So, for Paul, these boys, of course, they are women. In Romans. Come here. He says, no, the salvation is not alone. He says, no. At what point? That went to the core of their belief. But they believed in Abraham. I said, now they ask, what point was Abraham called, said to be a man of faith? Before he was circumcised. Did you see that? So the circumcision became a righteousness, a righteous fulfillment of the law when he was not yet circumcised. Did you see that? How are you following that? How was a big argument? You know, at that point, the Gentiles are saying,
They were called to the Gentiles. In their own way.
They say, if God will not, if he called the Gentiles, they are an engrafted branch.
Not for what he did. So he then brought all of them together. And so that they will now see themselves where? In Christ. In faith. Hallelujah. So there's no superior religion. Or, sorry, there's no superior race. That's what Paul actually showed them. Hallelujah. There's no superior race. There's not like that in Christ. We are all in Christ. Male and female. Jews and Gentiles. Hallelujah. For all we made to drink of one same spirit. That's just it. How about for thee? Glory to God. Verse 11. Looking at what I'm teaching Romans. Sorry, don't worry. Verse 12. And the fathers and sons circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but of them who walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet what? Yet what? Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Very important. So referring to the circumcision, so very important. So we call the circumcision that which is of what? Faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that means there is a circumcision of faith and there is a circumcision made by hand. 1 Corinthians 7. We'll get to it just next week. I mean, tomorrow. I wanted to start reading tomorrow, but I'm starting just now. I'm not finished. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 7. So we'll just touch angels, touch seed a bit, and then we'll enter to start reading tomorrow. Hallelujah. We'll start. Hallelujah. Let's cover up Galatians 1-3. I'll know that on Saturday will now be 4-6 study. Touch everything. Hallelujah. We'll just read through. I can read the whole 1-6 tomorrow, but take my time. Hallelujah. Okay, are you there? Okay. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19. Let's see this. It says, circumcision is nothing. Did you see that? Okay. Let's start from verse 16. It says, if a man is called, being uncircumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. The circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandment is what?
From God.
Did you see that? So he calls circumcision made of hand nothing. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that. Okay. Look at Philippians 3:3. He called the circumcision. Okay. Philippians 3:3. We all have not read circumcision in Galatians. Now he said, look at this. He says, follow my brethren, to write the same thing to you, beware of those, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence where? In the what? Aha. In the flesh. Will that be in the customs of the law? Hallelujah. How about following it? In the flesh. So something you will now see. Moses will now call, will now do the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. You know? Amen. That's in Moses. Paul. Missing that too. Oh, no, get it. Sorry. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians 2, verse 11. He says, verse 10. He says, ye are complete in him which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Did you see that? In the putting off of the body of sin, of the flesh, by the circumcision of what? Of Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, that cutting of the flesh. No. That cutting of the flesh. What does Paul call the cutting of the flesh? Eh? No. Look at it again. Verses 3. I mean, chapter 2, verse 11. It says, In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Did you see that? In putting off the body of sin of the flesh. So that cutting of the body by Moses was to symbolize what? The body of sin that will be done in Christ. I hope you are following that. Hallelujah. So that would be a symbol. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he calls the circumcision of made with hands nothing. It's just nothing. It's just a symbol. It's a practice. It is a culture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that doesn't mean, like I said to us, doctors have proven over time that circumcision is good health-wise for a man. What we are calling it? It's good health-wise for a man. But yet, even in this same country, there are people who are uncircumcised. I hope you know that. Some people are still uncircumcised. Even in the modern age, people say, it's good. Right. Some people see it as, no, it's not right. Right? By their culture. So their men are uncircumcised. Amen? And they don't even die. Some of them get uncircumcised and they get married. You don't know. Glory to God. So let's look at Galatians 5. As we go. So Paul now brings it in Galatians. Again. He now says to them Galatians 5:6. Says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says circumcision doesn't profit anything. Hallelujah. He says, look at verse 2. Say, behold, I say unto you, if ye be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. And I testify to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So he's coming against them hard. Hallelujah. So Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you is justified by the law are fallen from grace. Okay, I follow you. So you know what they did? They were saved. Eh? And because they were saved, now they were uncircumcised. When they heard Judaism, they quickly ran together to get what? Circumcised. Let me read this to you. Hallelujah. So God then came and said, no. If you went back to the circumcised, you are falling from grace. Hallelujah. That means you are backsliding. What falling is what? Now as they live saved by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. So Paul, what Paul is doing was a defense of his teaching, of his message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you've been blessed. Okay, let's just thank the Lord.